time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, we're back once again with James Anderson, the man who heads the Marion County Park District. He's the interpreter of everything in the wild, in nature, you might say, not necessarily in the wild, but in nature. If you ever want a program, an interesting program, you'd have to get in touch with James. You can do that. You can find him on Facebook. Well, Facebook or wherever, right, Jim?
Yep.
James?
Yep, you sure can.
Yeah, okay, just as simple as that. Now, you were at Heritage Hall last night.
Yep.
And you had some wild plants with you. Now, you told us all about, except one of them, you haven't.
We talked about Trillium, yes. But we didn't talk about the fun facts about the Trillium.
Yeah, tell us all about it. Now, our listeners know, is a white Trillium, the state flower, isn't it?
It's a state wildflower.
Yeah, state wildflower.
Because we do have the state flower.
The carnation, yeah.
Yeah. So this was adopted in 1987. And we're one of the states that have a wildflower. I don't think every state does, but I think most states do.
Okay, so what is different, except it's a beautiful white three-leaved flower?
Yes. Now, tri means three, so it's got the three petals and then the three leaves, and then the thing behind the flowers are called brackets, so they're not really leaves.
Okay, so it's got three flowers, three leaves, and
three brackets. Yeah. So that's where the tri comes from.
Oh, there's three brackets.
Yeah, right here in the back. Yep,
okay.
Yep, there's three. So, well, yep, that's where the okay. where tri for trillium comes from.
Okay, what is there about a trillium that's unusual?
So, there are actually other species of trillium in the state of Ohio. This is the most common one, the large flower trillium, or showy trillium is also called. The one actually I saw at Paradise called Toche trillium. Then there's the red one, or also known as Stinking Benjamin. I think we have about four to five different species
really?
In this state. Now, the nickname for trillium is called birthroot.
Birthroot.
Yes. So what they used to do back in the day, and even in today's times, and for a lot of the midwives, they used to make a tea from the roots, and they would use it for help to induce labor for women and help contractions and even afterwards help with any pain women were having. So
the root of the trillium.
Yeah, yep. They make a tea from it.
Yeah, boy. Can you imagine some lady going to her doctor and saying, excuse me, but I want to have some trillium tea.
Yeah.
He'd say, yeah.
Well, you know, and like when I'll mention it in my program next month, you know, before there was, I guess, you know, modern medicine, you know, the outdoors was
That's
our pharmacy.
Right. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So you had to know, I mean, what you
sure
were doing.
Did. And that's, maybe that's how the snake oil came about. But I see there are so many things, too, on you see advertisements in the paper and on television about products that are supposed to be almost miraculous.
Yeah.
But they always have that disclaimer they've got to put on.
Oh, yeah.
That it's not really proven to be any of what they proclaim.
Yeah, they don't want to get sued.
That's right. And interesting. But the trillium is such a beautiful flower.
Oh, it is.
Now, you don't find trilliums growing around lawns. It's mostly in woods, isn't it?
Yes, woodland settings.
Wild areas.
Yes. Myers Woods Nature Preserve, Paradise right now is full of them. Parts of Tallgrass Trail, Epsifell region. So yeah, you gotta have a they like shade. They kind of like kind of moist forests. So if you have that kind of atmosphere or habitat in your area, you could see trilliums.
Wow. Okay.
And right now they're blooming. So
now, sometimes later, just I don't know how many days they bloom, but then you find a kind of a rust color will develop. Is that an older trillium?
Yeah, yeah. So those kind of turn reddish pinkish, and that's already telling other pollinators, "Hey, I've already been pollinated. Don't mess with me. Go to someone else."
Wow. Yeah, as close as I listen, I never heard him say that.
Yeah.
Oh my. But, interesting, too, that show I saw last night about butterflies, it said, is it butterflies or some other insect actually produce a sound to try to defray other bugs that might, or things that might come after them?
Oh, really?
I never knew a butterfly could make a sound, but one can ever hear it.
No.
Unless you got a special instrument.
Interesting. Yeah. I guess I didn't realize that either.
It might be kind of like the bat. Yeah. It's high frequency sounding.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just to see close up pictures of butterflies eating, sucking the sap out of different things, really fascinating.
Oh, yeah. They're really interesting animals.
And there's so many different varieties of butterflies. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, there is.
I've got a book that's really thick, and to try to find one butterfly is among all those. Now, I permanently etched in my mind one butterfly that I saw on our back porch the other day. It had red stripes down the bottom of its wings on the rear. And if I ever find that, I'll maybe get its name.
All right.
Now we're getting into that season, aren't we? The butterfly season?
Yep. Since we're getting warmer, plants are coming out. So, yep, our pollinators are starting to emerge.
Uh-huh. Now, is it possible that we'd have to know what we're looking at, though? To see the larva of a butterfly?
Yes.
Some of it's pretty ugly.
Yeah, some of them don't look anything like their parents or the adults.
Yeah, protrusions emanating from their bodies that just look horrible. But yet when they go into their, what do they call, metamorphosis?
Yep.
And all of a sudden here comes this butterfly sliding out of that thing with wings and all.
That's right. Well, you know, it's like, it's called the Fisseroi caterpillar or butterfly. The butterfly looks like the monarch, but it does mimicry. But the young also does mimicry, but it looks like bird poop.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
It has the markings and bumps, so then when a bird comes by, it sits still, so bird's not going to eat bird poop. So, yeah.
Isn't it just the background of these insects and what they do for their own protection? There's probably volumes published.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of things about mimicry that, you know, animals do.
How they protect one another or themselves from predators. I guess that's like what we as adults, we're always trying to protect ourselves, too, from maybe scams.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, boy. Okay. So, and then a listener came by here before I got here with a handful of wild garlic. Now, I really like wild garlic. We have it all over our yard at home. Now, where he was, they got some real heavy-duty garlic. Those are big bulbs, or bigger than normal. And, boy, do they smell good.
Yes, they do.
But, boy, you don't want to put much of this in a salad, or it will inundate and take over.
Yes.
And so what else is happening, James?
Oh, well, a lot of our, we kind of talked about earlier, our birds are kind of traveling through, so they're either coming into Ohio for the summer or they are passing by, like we talked about, like the blue-headed vireo.
Yes.
And then the sandhill cranes, there's been a lot of reports, so they'll probably start nesting around big islands. So,
no kidding.
They'll be having chicks, and their chicks, they're always really cute.
Yeah,
right. I like watching them.
And at one time, I think I told you, too, we saw at the Christmas bird count a flyover from Sandhill Cranes.
Oh, yeah?
That must have been one of the most unusual things to happen.
Yeah, especially in December.
Yeah, right, in December is right. Now, you mentioned a shoveler.
Yep, yep, northern shoveler.
What do they look like?
So they're a duck. They're a waterfowl species, and they're also known as shovelhead. So they're one of the few ducks here in Ohio that have a really weird shaped bill, and it looks it's bigger than its head. It kind of looks like a little shovel or a spade.
So is it a scooper for bugs and things?
For a lot of the macroinvertebrates in the water, yeah.
Okay. Maybe I suppose they could shovel in some eggs from the tadpole.
They might get like little pet tadpoles, yeah.
Oh, interesting. I don't know if I ever saw a shoveler. But you say they're out on the lake?
Yep, they've been out on the lake. The wildlife area, we've seen quite a few of them there. Wow. So, yeah, they're very common.
What else have you seen on the lake that people would be interested in?
The eagles. The eagles have been very, very active this winter. We have a lot of juvenile chicks. And there's an osprey. That's nesting on that tall communication tower on her road.
Okay.
So far, it's doing good. So, because last year I witnessed it, and fortunately, I think the wind knocked it down, the nest down. But no, so far, they've been up there for about almost 3 weeks.
So, I suppose, have at least a couple of chicks.
That's what we're hoping. Yeah. And then what I'm afraid is the ospreys are going to do all this hard work, and then the eagles are going to say, oh, okay.
Yeah.
A lot of times, eagles will outcompete ospreys.
Is that right? I wonder if an osprey and an eagle got together in a fight, who would win?
Most likely eagles.
Really?
They're a little bit bigger, and they're a little bit more aggressive than ospreys.
So ospreys, in order to feed their young, they've got to go out and eat, pick up some small animals?
They're primarily fish eaters.
Okay.
Versus eagles will eat, you know, dead stuff. They'll eat fish. They'll eat, you know, rabbits and things like that.
Wow. So rabbits. I wonder if our rabbit population is less than it used to be.
In certain areas, yes. Of course, like in around agriculture areas, since a lot of the farmers are getting rid of the fence rows.
Fence rows are gone.
Yeah, so that's hurting not just rabbits, but quail and pheasants.
Everything,
as well.
Yeah. Squirrels. Now, in town, there are a lot of squirrels.
Oh, yeah, a lot of squirrels.
And I suppose there are out in the country, too.
Yep, there are.
Any other interesting birds that... what have you mentioned? That one bird you mentioned. I was thinking of the indigo bunting.
Oh, the blue neck catcher?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they sound like, you know, when you go to fairs or festivals, those kids that play with those little toy trumpets, you get annoyed after the...
Okay.
Wow, but I think they sound like those toy trumpets.
No kidding. Wow.
So, yeah, and then the hermit thrush, too. We saw some on Monday.
Oh,
they have a really pretty song.
I love the sound of the thrush. There's a lot of different kinds of thrushes, aren't there?
Yeah, the wood thrush does that ukulele.
Yeah,
that's a really beautiful
song. You have an intriguing call.
Yes.
And I remember in Canada, where I was up in the dense part of Canada. Of course, it's all dense. But I could hear them in the tops of the trees.
Yep, and you probably were hearing fairies as well.
Fairies, yes.
I think they sound, you know, those big hollow plastic straws. Yes. You know, I think that's what they sound like.
No kidding. Wow. And then, of course, I don't know if you'll ever have one in the lake. What do you call them? the terrible sounding, creepy, the name of that duck that it has the... it's white with black spots.
The Muscovy?
No, the one that,
I can't think.
Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. I've got a model of one at home, even.
Okay.
But they're black with white spots, and they sound like creepy, like out of a horror movie.
Okay.
I can't
think.
Hey, folks, call us and and give us the name of that duck. Okay, we're going to break.
Scott,
now.
Did you know that Martha Dowse and George Casillas were taught to dance by Marian native and Miss America Marilyn Meskey?
I had heard that.
What you didn't know was that after Marilyn taught them how to dance, that George gave her a gift.
Oh, really? What was that?
Two jugs of olive oil and a box of lemons.
George's calling card, WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, GOAT, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Oh, we're back once again with James Anderson, Marion County Park District. Okay, thank you, listener.
It took us a while.
Yes, it did. It's a loon, L-O-O-N.
Yes, and I told Charlie I saw one a couple years ago, so not any recently.
Okay. Boy, if you ever see one on the lake out here, call me, because I would just sit there and wait to hear one call.
Oh, yeah, that's such a beautiful, beautiful sound.
Wow. But loons, generally, you don't find them around this area.
No,
right?
Mainly like Lake Erie would be a very good.
Farther north, And double-breasted cormorants.
We have a lot of them.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yes.
You really do?
Yep. Bob Turner got some pictures of them.
Now, they're hated up at Lake Erie.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, they're pretty common in the summer.
Okay. So, now, what about the lake there at the trailhead or near the trailhead? I saw, was it on the internet, a man's parasailing or whatever?
Kite boarding.
Yeah,
I didn't know that was a thing. So, it's just a special surfboard, and it just has a kind of a special parachute and strong cables, and you just harness the wind, and you're able to maneuver it, and it's a really interesting sport.
I bet it would be.
He said, I guess the guy said it requires a lot of upper body strength to do that.
Can you imagine the strain on your shoulder muscles and your arms? Yeah, not parasailing. Parasailing is with a parachute.
Yeah.
Okay, but this is a kite
boarding.
A kite boarding.
Yep.
Interesting. I'm glad to know there's somebody that does that in the area.
Yeah, like I said, I've never heard of anybody doing that, and I guess it's something we can add to the list of recreational opportunities.
Yes. Have you heard of any other spectacular fish catches?
Somebody caught about a 3-pound bass the other day, and then just, what was it, a day or two ago, someone got a white crappie and some another largemouth.
Well,
so they're out there.
Yeah, I read in the Star, the sports writer or the wildlife writer said bass aren't too good at tasting, so just throw it back in and let it grow.
Well, some people like bass.
I'm sure they do. Yeah, I've eaten my share of bass over the years.
Yeah, I've had a few.
One of my favorite things that I often recall as a kid, going out to a river and searching for that little hole in the river where you'd thought the fish were, and you'd catch catfish and chubs and.
Yep.
Oh, there was white chubs and black chubs and, oh my, everything. And that was so much fun. It brought back, had so much in memory. Wow. But that was, I don't know today, James, if you could go out in anybody's backyard and fish in their creek.
I don't know. Maybe in some areas.
Yeah, all right. So, okay. Now, what's in the plans for activity? There must be a lot of plans for this summer out at the Tallgrass Trail and the other Marion County Park District locations.
Yeah, so like we've always done, we're still always doing our nature programs. So some of our big events are coming up. We have Nature Fair next month on May 11th from 1 to 4 p.m.
Okay, that's at the trailhead?
At the trailhead.
What would that be about?
So this was actually our first event. So we just do different nature games, activities, lessons for all ages. And, it's a good time.
Sounds like it,
And then in June 8th, is our big paleontology or the dinosaur event. Wayne Fowler, he does all that. We're actually going to have a real paleontologist this year from OSU. That's going to be really exciting.
I've been reading the history of the digging up of
the mammoth?
Yeah, the mammoth in Crawford County.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a couple over there, at least two. And there's parts of one on display there at the Crawford County Park District headquarters.
Yeah, and in Johnsville, they found a mastodon a few years ago in a farmer's field.
Yeah. Isn't that something? So we don't know what's buried underground unless we're just lucky and happen to be digging something. And
that's right, if we hit it just right.
Yeah, and of course, they'd have to be buried down a way so that no oxygen got to their bones to dissolve. Yeah, interesting. So you're going to have a paleontologist.
Yes, and I forget who it is. I would have to look it up, but he's a real paleontologist from OSU.
Great. Now, you mentioned Wayne Fowler. I've known Wayne for years. Wayne must be about my age or getting close to it.
He might be, yeah. Yeah, he's a good volunteer. He helps out with a lot of events and programs. And
all right, yeah. I'm trying to think. Wayne was associated with, the YMCA Scouts?
The Scouts. He was a Scout executive or something with Scouts. That was his thing.
That's it, yes. Okay. All right, so you depend a lot, as anyone would, with any kind of an operation, volunteers.
Oh, yes, yes. We're always looking for volunteers. Like what you said, if you don't have volunteers, unfortunately, things don't happen.
And, that's right.
That's what.
And you've got, and a volunteer, they've got to be interested in doing their job or what they're asked to do or volunteer to do, because that's their pay, because they enjoy that.
Yes.
It's not like, hey, what do you give me if I do this?
Yeah, yeah. And able to interact with kids and other people in the public. So, yeah.
Especially with the kids. The kids are in their learning stage, and what they learn now, they'll remember, like me. Like, I can remember things that maybe I told you. When I was about 8 years old, it was right after the start of World War II, I used to go down to a playground, and they had a lady come every day to try to teach us to do crafts.
Oh, really?
And she taught me how to carve a boat out of a solid piece of wood, and I did. And she watched me, and then she brought some copper plate and had me hammer it out for the keel of the boat.
Okay.
And then my mother made sails for it. I still have that boat at home.
Wow.
Yeah, And that's some of the things like I can remember when, 80 years ago,
right.
And to still have that. But you can influence kids to a great degree.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's super. Okay, now bicycling, too, apparently has picked up quite a bit.
Oh, yes. Yep, since the trail's all 12.4 miles long. So, we always have a lot of bikers.
And now I notice on the on Facebook, the picture of the tree that blew over on the trail.
Yes.
And you had a local group come out, a company.
Johnson's Property Service, yes. Yeah. They donated their time and their equipment to clear that big tree out. So it was a massive tree. It was the day of the when the tornado went through Shelby.
Was that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was that massive storm.
How far down on the trail was that?
About the 5.5 mile marker.
Okay. So we had to get on the trail at the trailhead or down farther?
Down.
Yeah,
further.
Okay. Yeah. But sawed it up and got it out of there.
They did, and we're very grateful.
Oh, boy.
And then Whirlpool for our Earth Day event. We had 70 people that came for the Earth Day event a couple Saturdays ago.
No kidding.
And Whirlpool cleaned the entire trail.
Is that right?
Yep. They had about...
Isn't that wonderful?
About 100 people, employees with their families.
No kidding.
They went in different sections of the trail, but it was crazy. The whole 12
miles. Nice to hear. Wow.
They gather almost about 20 bags of garbage
mm-hmm.
that, unfortunately, people have left off the trail.
Well, that's good to hear. Participation like that can only create more interest.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. And such a good thing to do. To volunteer oneself to do these things. Okay, it's 11:40. Now, if any of you have a question about anything coming up in the spring or anything at all about wildlife or things in the wild, give us a call, 740-333-9944. I appreciate the listener called that said, you're looking for a loon.
Yeah, I said it took us a while.
Yeah, I did. And they have such a... And when we were camping in Canada... You heard that, half the night, it seems like. And so creepy sounding. Yeah, a lot of loons up there,
yes. That's
for sure. But not so many. They don't come down quite this far, do they, normally?
No, not too often.
Yeah, right. Okay. So it's 11:41 Eastern Daylight Time, or Standard Time, rather. And if there's anything you'd like to ask James, don't hesitate. Maybe you got wild garlic growing in your yard. James, what can you do with wild garlic?
So you can use it in for cooking. You can saute and put it in steaks and in other recipes.
Really?
Of course, you can put it in spaghetti, any Italian recipe.
That's right, Italian food.
Yeah, a lot of Italian recipes require, you know, garlic.
Yes, and this listener brought this garlic. It's rather tall and has nice-sized bulbs. And I keep looking at those bulbs. I'd love to eat one, but I'm going to a dinner after I get off the air here. And and I don't want them to know me for my garlic smell. But it would be. I can only imagine what that would do on spaghetti or any Italian dish or any kind of dish.
Oh, yeah. Give a good flavor.
Yes. Right. And then you could brag and say, this is something out of the wild. This is anything I bought. I got this out of my yard.
That's right.
Yeah, right. And most of it is a little bit smaller than our listener brought in. So that's good. I smell it. Okay. Now, let me see. The flowers you brought, people can find. Well, we have a listener. I don't know if he brought garlic or. Yeah, go right ahead. Yeah, he's in there. Okay. You might tell us about some of the events coming up on the calendar for the rest of the month.
All right. So for what's left of April, on Monday at 5:30 p.m., we will be at Teradice doing a vernal pool program. So come learn about the different types of wildlife and things that live in and around a vernal pool.
I mentioned the other day, James, the vernal pool that's just down the road from Teradice. There's a whole area where it's wooded, but there's water lying down below Whetstone River Road.
Okay.
It's just straight west of Trella's place.
Yeah.
That's a king-size vernal pool.
Yeah, it is. It's a good size.
And I often wonder just what all would be in that vernal pool, since it's not accessed really by anybody that I know of.
Yeah, probably a lot of salamanders and frog species and maybe some fairy shrimp.
Yeah, the fairy shrimp are little teeny weeny ones, aren't
they? That's right. I brought them in like a couple years
ago. That's right, yes.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
Yeah. Can you eat them?
I guess you could, but there wouldn't be much. You wouldn't eat them by the hundreds and thousands to get a good meal.
Yeah, that's for sure. Okay.
This Saturday we'll be at Tri Rivers at the Times Travelers
Fair.
That's
right, the Times Travelers, yeah. What will you be doing there?
We'll have a table just to display about the parks.
Okay, that's good.
And then Sunday we'll be around your neck of the woods at the Eco Center for their Earth Day event from 12
to
4.
Southeast of Caledonia.
Yes.
On the
It's technically in Morrow County, but it's right at the Mary Morrow.
Yes, right.
It's on County Road 59.
Okay, and that road is called, it has a name to it, but County Road 59 is, you look for that sign.
Yes.
It borders, if you go out 309, take the road on the west side of the cemetery.
Yes,
and
you just
follow that.
Yeah, just keep following. You'll be there.
And you come right up the Eco Center right after you cross into Morrow County.
That's right.
That's good. What are some of the things they'll have over there?
They'll have some vendors. They'll have some food. And, of course, there's like games and activities that they'll have for kids. And then, of course, we'll be there, you know, promoting the parks. So,
right. Yeah, that's good. Okay. A good event, and it's nice to see the young people thinking a lot about recycling, too.
Yes, and that's a big thing, just teaching people about Earth Day.
That's right. Yeah. Then what do they do with the stuff we gather for recycling? I wonder.
Well, they'll take it to the recycle facilities, and then after that, they'll distribute it to different places and able to reuse.
Yeah, hopefully so. Yeah. I guess that's getting to be a kind of an expensive thing somewhat. But we'll be back here in just a few
I've got my milk and my bowl and my saucer.
Sounds like you're getting ready for breakfast. What are you having?
Well, I'm having a bowl of golden grams with a side of toast with golden butter and a nice golden glass of apple juice.
I should have known. WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again with James Anderson, Marion County Park District. James, there are some other things coming up yet this month before we get into May that you might want to mention.
We just mentioned them before, the Fernal Pool Program at 5:30 Monday.
And that's the 29th.
Yeah, 29th. Okay. Thank you. Yep, and then Saturday and Sunday, this coming weekend, we'll be at Tri Rivers, and then we'll be at the Eco Center. So that's what's left for April.
For the month of April. Then May presents, it's still spring.
That's
May flowers.
That's right. That's right.
And May every... Oh, my. What about May, what's the name of that?
May apple,
yeah.
Yeah, they're out right now with the leaves. Now they will be making the flower here.
Okay.
In the next probably week or two.
Now the fruit is underneath the leaf?
Yes, and they are more of a late summer, early fall.
Okay, now is there any purpose for that fruit other than...
You can eat it, but you have to be very careful. I can't pick it too early, too late, can't eat the seed. So it can be very toxic. So you have to be very careful when you use it. And I've had it before, but someone made a jam from it. And I will admit, it is a little bit bitter than like apple butter, but I mean... It's interesting.
Oh, yeah. And let's see, what other... What about the that plant that comes up has something to do with snake?
Oh, snake... well, there's snake root. There's plantain. There's...
Yeah, plantain.
Rattlesnake master, which is a prairie plant. So I guess there's several.
Are there a lot of plants left over from the old days of the prairie?
There's some, not a lot.
Yeah, okay.
We've destroyed them or
that's right. Cancel
pollution.
Clutter did as much as he could.
Yes, yes. He did a lot.
And I don't suppose there's anybody could replace him. He's 90-some years old. And
yes, and he's still kicking. He's still doing some, but very limited.
Kensel was out there every day. I can still see him with his pith helmet on, shading himself from the sun, pulling out weeds that grasses that shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. And the railroad purposely did not spray that area to kill off the vegetation. They saved it for the Clarendon Prairie.
That's good.
Yeah. Okay. And a lot of plants were distributed, I suppose, by railroads coming through the area with seeds contained maybe on the exterior of cars that fell off.
Probably, yeah.
And are there still a lot of original prairie plants in the area?
Oh, there's some. There's some. Like I said, not a lot, but there's some.
But a lot, like the Canadian thistle, that's not...
Yeah, that's invasive.
Yeah. Okay, and
garlic mustard.
It's kind of
mustard,
a beautiful plant, if you consider, you know...
Oh, yeah. And bush honeysuckle, that's also another lovely invasive, you know, that take over and kill a lot of the prairies.
Okay.
So,
a lot of things out there. Is there going to be any kind of a program that could be brought about to identify plants? Just, you know, set aside a field and try to identify the different things growing there.
I've done programs like that at Tallgrass Trail, yeah.
Okay. All right. So there's room for that.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. It's 10 minutes until 12 o'clock, and we welcome anyone with inquiries. If you want to talk about anything in nature. Okay, so what about the month of May? What do you think May should be flowers, for one thing?
Yeah, we're going to start losing some, like Virginia bluebell and trillium and all that. But then other ones like May apples, phloxes, some other different species are coming out. And then a lot of our trees are going to be leafing out.
Oh, that's right.
So that's why a lot of our wildflowers are trying to hurry up, because as the trees are leaving out, then there's not enough shade, and then, you know, they can't really survive very well.
So, things in nature have to be on a timetable.
Yeah, and we kind of talked about that last month with the frogs. The little frogs, you know, are trying to hurry up and get their breeding done so because the big frogs are coming out here soon. The bullfrogs and green frogs.
And yeah, we talked about the frog season last month, too.
Yes, yep, that'll be in June.
Okay, in June. Okay. And of course, the only frog that really is worthwhile would be the big bullfrog.
Yeah, bullfrogs and green frogs. Yeah. Yep, are the only two species you're allowed to harvest.
They have a little meat on their legs.
Yeah.
You don't eat anything else but their legs, right?
I mean, I've only done legs. I mean, I bet other people have maybe tried other parts.
I wonder if there's anything other than their legs with any meat. Oh, my. And of course, there's a lot of tales about frog legs and how they jump around the skillet and so forth.
Oh, yeah.
But if anything would taste more like chicken, it might be frog legs.
It might be.
Yeah. Boy. But the way you recognize the frog that would taste right would be their grunt, their...
Yep, they make that room.
Yeah.
And then the green frogs make a banjo plucking sound, that boing, boing, boing.
Aha. Kind of okay. Sound. And then the teeny weeny frogs, that their chamber where their sound comes from is what, under their chin?
Yeah, that focal sac.
Yeah.
Yep.
And now you say they're you can hear them now, but not for very long?
For very long. Yep. The peepers and the chorus frogs, they're going to be starting hiding here soon. Now, the tree frogs, they're starting to come out.
That's right.
Yeah. I heard some the other day at the trail.
And tree frogs can be recognized by what, their feet especially have the suction cup?
Yeah, they have the sticky adhesive, toe pads. And a lot of times you'll see them on your house or your car or your pool if you've got a pool in your backyard.
Yeah, I see them occasionally when I'm mowing the yard.
Yeah.
And I hate to run over them. They're such cute little things.
They are. About the size of a half dollar.
That's right. And sometimes, if you have a screen door, they'll come up and attach themselves and look at you.
Yep, because they're looking for food.
Yeah. Isn't that something? Now, who knows what kind of food they would find?
Moths. Moths and other insects.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. All right. Now, what is the major feature of the month of May? Did you mention them?
For programs? No, we haven't mentioned them yet.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so we got May 3rd. We have the Life Under a Log at Teradice Nature Preserve at 5 o'clock p.m. So we will
Under a Log.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about the different kinds of animals or wildlife that live underneath a log.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, we might see salamanders. We might see spiders. Who knows?
Snakes?
Might see snakes. Yeah. We'll have to see.
But there's no poisonous snakes around.
Not around
no
here.
No worries.
So, May 4th, we have the wildflower program at the Teradice Nature Center. So, it's not the preserve, but it's where Trilla's house was.
Okay, up on the Whetstone River.
Yes, on Whetstone. Yep, that's from 1 to 3 p.m. If you want more information, please visit teradice.org. And then on the 6th, we're doing another wildflower program, but this is at the Myers Woods Nature Preserve at 6 o'clock. So, come see those wildflowers.
Okay, now the Myers Nature Preserve is on the Wyandotte Marion County Line Road, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Okay. Right across from Kildare Plains.
Yeah. And you can access off of Route 23, I think, go west.
Yeah, yep. Or Route 203.
Or 203, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Yep. It's the last road on the Marion Line. So
Turn
right there on Marion Wyandotte County Road.
And I was on that once and a part that's not traveled very much, and it was all stone or something.
It still is.
Very primitive.
Half of it's blacktop and half of it's stone.
Yeah, okay. And it divides Marion County, Crawford, and Wyandotte.
Yes, yep. Yeah,
okay. And what else is in May?
We talked about the Nature Fair from 1 to 4 p.m. So this is, again, our big event. We'll have archery from the Division of Wildlife, so we'd like to thank our wildlife officer for helping us out with that. On the May 14th, we're going Let's Go Herping at Tallgrass Trail at 5 o'clock p.m. So we'll discover the different types of snakes and turtles, frogs, or other herps that we can find. On May 16th, we'll be doing a wild edible and medicinal plant program at the Marion Public Library from 7 to 8 p.m. So it's a great introduction program to, if you really want to get into this field. So I'll be giving you some tips on how to use your resources and how to use plants.
Okay, we'll be back in just a moment. Right there. Okay, I was looking at my clock backwards.
Okay.
We still have 5 minutes to go.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right, I got a few more. All right. On the 20th, we'll be doing another wildflower program at the Teradice Nature Preserve at 6 o'clock p.m. On the 22nd, we'll be having our friends meeting at the Historical Society building downstairs at Heritage Hall at 7 o'clock p.m. On the 25th, the Marion, Ohio Weather is doing a hiking series at Tallgrass Trail at from 12 to 2 p.m. So we are teaming up with them. So from May to September, we're going to go to some of our different parks or different sections of Marion Tallgrass Trail. So it's a great way to exercise, meet new people, and to explore your Marion County parks.
Oh, okay. Now, what about the installation there south of Marion off of Route 4? By the river there.
Oh, Greenspur?
Greenspur,
yeah,
yes.
Yep. That will be on June 22nd.
Oh, what will be going on there?
The Marion, Ohio weather hike series.
Oh, the weather hike. Okay.
Yes, yep.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so, and then we'll be doing an August, I can't remember I think it's August 22nd, 24th, whatever almost that last Saturday is, will be at Teradice. And then the other ones will be mainly at Tallgrass Trail, just the different sections of the trail.
Yeah, okay. And then going back to the lake there, now, did you mention all of them for May?
I just got a couple more.
Okay.
The 27th, we have a bird watching program at 8 in the morning at Tallgrass Trail. We'll be starting at the Cliff parking lot. And then our last one will be 30th, back here with you, Charlie.
Okay, yeah.
So that's month
great.
Of May.
All right. So a lot going on.
Yeah.
James, you sure do keep busy, and that's good to see.
Yes. And we got an intern, so she'll start the 20th.
Okay.
But she'll mainly watch me for May, and then June
right.
She'll start doing programs. So
okay.
Her name is Emily Cobble. She's from the Elgin District.
Oh, okay.
So
all
she's
right.
A local. So, yeah, we're pretty excited
that's
to have,
good.
Gonna have her on board.
Good educational program for a young student like that, too.
Yeah.
And you never know, that might be the basis for a career.
That's right, yeah.
Now, what got you started?
What got me started is the FFA. I did the contest.
Okay.
And then after that, I fell in love with natural resources. So then I first wanted to be a wildlife officer, but then I got into research. So I did research, but actually my first internship was in Kentucky. So that's actually
wow.
How I started in environmental education naturalist.
No
so
kidding.
I've been doing it for about 10 years.
Wow.
So I'm actually, May 4th will be my fourth year for working with the park district.
Boy,
so
doesn't time fly.
I know, 4 years. It's crazy.
Especially when you're busy.
I know, right?
Wow. Well, that's great. So, a lot of things coming up with the Marion County Park District. And are you able to... Fundwise, are you able to keep up with needs for various developments? Not knowing what the developments would be, but will the park need to be funded any particular time?
We're always looking for funds for projects, but I mean, we may have to go on a levy in the future. I'm not sure when, but we'll see.
Mostly surrounding areas have done that.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Been very successful, too.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of, there is some girl, I think from Marion County, that is now a naturalist in Findlay. It's the Findlay Park System.
Really?
Yeah, I think, Ted Jollop's daughter, I think, or granddaughter.
Larissa, she actually is down at Darby Creek in Columbus Metro Parks.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, we're just about the end of our rope today.
Well, we had fun.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have you, James Anderson.
Well, yes. Thank you for having me.
The man from the Marion County Park District that knows so much about things in nature, and he's willing to part with that information and give it to you, too.
That's right.
And, we're coming up. We've got a few seconds left. I'll be over in Bucyrus in another hour with my class of 1952. Bunch of old timers. Oh boy, time has a way of getting by, and yet if you got a project going on, sometimes it seems like it takes forever.
Yes, it sure does.
But forever, I think, is only a day. And that's going to do it. We'll be back tomorrow.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. Bob McGrath from Sesame Street. Bob.
Oh, who are the people in your neighborhood? In your neighborhood? In your neighborhood? Say, who are the people in your neighborhood? The people that you meet when you're walking down the street. The people that you meet each day.
Legendary newsman Hugh Downs. Did you ever think you would be referring to the NBC News anchor as doing something this stupid?
No, I never did think I would. I didn't think that could happen because, first of all, I think the way NBC itself has handled this is really not as smart as it could be. There could be a, you know, they got to quit using words like mistake and error and start saying what the truth is. That's what they're trying to get out. If they do that, they could get some public restoration of their credibility and help themselves a lot, but they're not doing that. They're still willing to call it a mistake.